Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, well, good morning, everybody. You ready to worship God in His word today? Yes or no? All right, there's just going to move through the auditorium briefly just to make sure that if you didn't get any sermon notes on the way in, you can just lift your hand up, let them know you want those. Those of you that are on your digital devices, you can get those, the YouVersion app, which is available on most of the platforms, I should say. Those of you that are streaming the service, you can just download that at YouVersion as well. But I encourage you to get your heart ready to hear what God has to say to you. We're in part two of a series called Maxed Out. Everyone say Maxed Out. It's actually a sermon series on financial freedom. And I know that perhaps some of you just thought, oh my goodness, you mean I heard the word finance. Does that mean that today's sermon is going to be about money? And the simple truth is we're going to talk about money, but we're actually using that as a connection to something else. And I hope that as we work our way through this, it really comes down to the fact that God wants to lead you in all parts of your life. And we're just using money because money touches every part of life. How many of you understand that money touches everything? How many of you have ever had we all know this because we've probably thought at some point, many times perhaps, man, I'd like to do so-and-so, but I just don't have enough money. I'd like to go so-and-so or go somewhere, but I don't have enough money. I wish I could experience whatever, but I don't have enough. In other words, their reality is money touches just about every part of life, which is why it's such a great connection to talk about what we're actually dealing with, which is God's role in our life, and we're just using money to talk about it. But we're actually going to be talking on both levels, so I hope you'll open your heart and mind to it. And by the way, for those of you that thought, Pastor Dave, why are you doing this? I brought a guest today. Everybody thinks that all the church ever talks about is money. And now that my friend is here, that's what they're going to think. The truth of it is we usually do a series on money and the truth about how God wants us to handle finances about every year or two. So you just happen to be at a good one. So my hope is you'll actually open your mind because who knows, perhaps God brought you here to show you something that may be beneficial to you as well. So hope, open up your heart. Let's let God really work in our lives. The scripture says that there is something interesting about the way money works, because we believe that it's not just an indicator of our financial balances, but from scripture we see that God says our finances and the way we handle it actually is an indicator of the attitude of our heart when it comes to who God is. And you may be thinking, how do we know that that's true? Look at this first scripture on your outline. It says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." How many of you have ever read that before? Ever heard that before? The scripture is very clear. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to flow towards. So when we actually think about this, it's very interesting because the Bible's saying you can use finances to indicate a hard part of your life to truly see. We also know in scripture that says that there are parts of our heart we never really can see because we can't discern our whole heart, but we can see the attitude and the posture of our heart by the way we handle finances. It's really interesting how that works, that God has given us a practical, numeric way to actually evaluate our condition, the condition of our heart before God. Numbers are actually important. In fact, let me show you a couple numbers to see if you can connect the dots on these. Let's look at these numbers. Anybody know what those numbers are? 120 over 80. 120 over 80. Those numbers, that's just two numbers with a little dash in it. But if you have ever been to the doctor's office and had a cuff squeezed around your arm, you might associate those numbers with something else called what? Blood pressure. In other words, that's a set of numbers that actually are an indicator of the relative condition or health of your heart. In a similar way, I believe that God wants us to see that the way we handle the numbers of finance and how we approach the stewardship or the management of those things can actually point to how we are with God in our heart. And so we're going to actually watch our way through this, okay? So as we're going through this, I want to just point out a couple of scriptures that deal with heart stuff first, because this is really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to God. And that is this. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the what? The course of your life." God is saying to us in the scripture, hey, humans, I want you to know something. There is one thing that affects every part of the life you live. It's called your heart. And we know that what we're seeing in Scripture is not the pump in our body. It's the heart of our soul in that matter. God is saying the condition of your heart affects everything about your life. And I'll show you how to make connections with where your heart really is so you can guard your heart. What's he saying about guarding? He's really saying guard the relationship you have with me and make sure that our relationship at a heart level is hot. It's not distant or absent. Make sure your heart is lined up with me. If you've ever been married before, you ever dated someone, you can just tell when your hearts are aligned together in that relationship. You've probably associated, I remember in dating relationships, that you could tell when you're sitting across the table from whoever you're out on the date with, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, there's something wrong here. It's like they're sitting there, but their heart isn't here. And that's a terrible feeling. Because the heart is where we actually connect in the relationship that gives us strength. God is saying the same thing. I want your heart to be aligned with me. Why? Because you'll get the most out of our relationship if your heart is lined up with me. So, as we're going through this, I want you to realize that he's saying not only that, the condition of your heart doesn't just affect our relationship, it actually touches every part of your life. The condition of your heart touches the marriage that you're in if you're married, touches the health of your body. It touches the way we parent, the way we relate with our parents. It touches the way we deal with our friends. It actually deals with our approach to finances. Our heart touches everything about the experience we have in life. And God wants us to realize that it's so important, the condition of our heart, that he's given us some indicators to let us know where our heart is at, which is why I'm so excited that God is showing us that when it comes to finances, God's not just simply looking to measure your money. He's wanting you to see your money can give you a measure of where your heart is at with God. It can indicate that. Does that make sense? For those of you that have been around a little bit at LifeLink know that just a couple of months ago now, I was privileged to finally achieve a life dream of mine and get my pilot's license. So I love everything aviation. It's always been that way. And so if you've ever been in a small plane or looked at a cockpit, the panel of a cockpit in an airplane, you'll notice that there are instruments there, and there are different representations, but one of them is called an attitude indicator, and it shows you the relative position of your plane compared to the horizon, so you can see where you're at. And the reason they put that instrument there is because sometimes airplanes fly in conditions you can't see the horizon, like at night with no lights outside, or in clouds. And they realize that pilots need to know where's the attitude of my airplane pointing so that I don't run into the ground or something along those lines. And when you can't see outside, there's an instrument there that shows you here's where you're pointing. And God wants us to know that in a way that's really interesting, the way we handle our money deals with the same way it connects with the attitude of our heart. So as we're going through this, you're going to discover God's got some powerful principles when it comes to the way he blesses us financially. But the most important thing about finances and the freedom we have that comes with walking in obedience with him is the relationship we have with God. And I hope that's what's really connecting with you this morning. Who knew money could be so important when it comes to spiritual things? But I believe God wants you to know that this morning. It's one of the reasons why we actually do teach about this every year or so. We do an intentional series on finance because there's a lot of bad information about money out there. And so we actually are very intentional with it. But we do more than just talk about money. In fact, most of you realize over the past couple of weeks, we've been giving a book away called The ABCs of Financial Freedom. This is a resource to your household. It's free to you, whether you attend LifeLink Church on a regular basis or not. If you've missed the last couple of weeks and didn't realize it, those books are still available on the Information Center. Just grab you one on the way out. This is our gift to you because we want you to walk in financial freedom. But even more than just giving you a book, we're actually running a class, and it's free. The only thing you have to pay for is a $5 workbook. We're using Wednesday nights, a class on the ABCs of financial freedom. And if you've not started that, we're just a couple weeks into it. It's not too late. And you can just show up on Wednesday night and make sure you pop in on that. You're going to love what God shows you in that class. And if the $5 is too much for you, I'll buy your book. If that's what it takes to get you there, I want to make sure that we're equipping you with everything you need. So it's not just words we're throwing at people. We're trying to equip people for freedom in this area. So as we work our way through the next few weeks, I think you're going to be shocked, and I think you'll be inspired with what God shows you through this sermon. And what it means for your financial future, but more importantly than your financial future, your actual potential and the life that you live. And so that's why I'm excited about it. When it comes to the area of money, I want to show you four different pictures. And the reason I want to show you these four different pictures is because a lot of times we can associate the relative condition of a certain part of our life in picture form. So let's look at this and see which one of these pictures might describe your current financial picture, your current financial picture. Let's look at this first one. This first one is the picture, I'm using the picture of a cruise ship, and I love this. And some of you, this is the current condition of your financial picture, all right? And some of you, a lot of us are inspired right now. Why do we love this picture so much? It's easy, because the room service is free. The food is free. The environments are immaculate. In fact, somebody makes your bed for you, and they put a little towel animal on it too. They put a little chocolate on your pillow, and they straighten everything up for you. So all you ever have to do, your only concern on the cruise is, did I pick the right excursion to have the most fun I can have? All right, so some of you, this is your financial picture, and you're like, woohoo, you're not kidding. I'm loving every part of my life. Got no care in the world, Pastor Dave. Got plenty of money. I've got more money than I know what to do with, and I'm just saying, God bless you. All right, some of you, your picture actually looks more like this. All right, just kind of an average, everyday kind of workaday life, and things are going okay, and your bills are paid, and your debts are coming down, and your balances are coming up a little bit, and there's not really a worry. You're just kind of working your way through it, and everything is just seems like it's okay. It's just not a big problem, and I think everything's going to work out just fine, but we're just kind of moving through the day, all right? Some of your pictures look a little more like this, all right? I mean, the storm's not here yet, but you see the trouble coming. You can see, I mean, the rain's not falling on you, but the storm clouds are on the horizon. You got some worries coming your way. You're not sure exactly how it's going to work out. And there's this feeling of an impending storm, but you're not there yet. And then some of your lives, financial pictures actually look like this. Yeah, baby, it's all over the place right now. I'm completely out of control. I've been swept up into a financial crisis. I'm just flailing around. I have no idea how it's going to work. In fact, I've got no hope at all. All right, and so I wanted to show you these pictures because what I'd like to ask you to do is pick one of those pictures. And I'm not going to ask you which one you're in, but I'd like to ask you to set yourself in one of those pictures, and then let's figure our way around the message that God has for us today, because God wants you to know that your financial picture is more than just a balance sheet. It actually reflects some things He wants to do in you. And by the way, let me just say for those of you that might be represented by pictures 3 or 4, you know, where the storm clouds are coming, or maybe you're actually in the tornado, that God has hope for you. This is not going to be a sermon that's out of your reach. God wants you to know everything He says is always applicable to every season of our lives, and our key out of whatever trouble we're in is always obedience to Him and His Word. All right, so I want to tell you that. And let me just talk to those of you that are, maybe your financial picture is represented by pictures 1 or 2. Jesus had some interesting things to say, because sometimes when we find ourselves in picture 1 or 2, we actually think, hey, everything is great. I've got everything I need. No sweat. I'm just trying to figure out what to do with everything. But if our perspective isn't actually correct, we could be in jeopardy and not know it. In fact, Jesus talked about this with a story He told once when He was talking about a rich person who said, I've got so much, I'm not sure what to do with it. I need bigger containers. So I'm going to tear down the barns that I have and build even bigger ones so I can have more for me. And He says, listen, you've missed the point of what wealth is about. Wealth isn't for your benefit as much as it is about my ability to move through you and bless other people. And so he says, you've been fooled. And so I want you to know, whether you're in picture one, picture two, picture three, or picture four, every one of us actually need the truth that we're going to experience in the Word today. So my hope is you'll open your heart and let's jump in. You ready to pray about it? Come on, let's pray. Jesus, be with us today. Give us insight from your scripture. Guide us in our life. Make a difference, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. So four things we need to do in order for my financial picture to look different. Whether we've got plenty, we need a correction in our perspective, or whether it feels like we've got nothing and we need lots of financial assistance, whatever that looks like, there's four things that we need in order for our financial picture to look differently. Number one, I need the right vision. Everyone say vision. I need the right vision. Vision actually refers to my perspective, the things I'm focused on, the things I'm leaning into, the things that have my attention. My vision needs to be correct. God wants me to know that for the first thing I'm going to have is I got to make sure that my perspective is right. And here's what we see in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. King James says this, where there is no vision, the people what?
Perish.
People perish. People perish. People perish. You know, it's interesting when you think about this, you might be thinking, well, what does this have to do with money? It has a lot more to do with money than you might think. On a practical note, I'll just say it this way. Most people don't live their lives with a vision for their financial future. I'll give you a hypothetical, and I think you can relate to it, but it's like a young couple who's trying to save up the down payment for a new home, but they can't quite ever get there because they buy a $5 Starbucks every day and video games every weekend. But they want a new home, but they can't get there because they're financially myopic. You ever been to an optometrist? And they put the little thing on your eyes, and if you walk in and you can't see, and then they measure your eyes, and pretty soon this thing goes, and all of a sudden you can see. I love that. It used to take forever, but now it doesn't take long at all. But it's fascinating. The first time one of those automatic machines did that on my eyes, I was stunned because I was ready for a 15-minute, is this better, is that better? Is this better, is that better? But they don't do that anymore. It just measures your eye and bloop, there it is. All right, but the bottom line is I actually have a couple of things with my eyes that relate me with this example I just used. I have myopia, which means I can see close, but I can't see far. Like if I take my glasses off, it's like I know you're here, but I can't see where you're sitting. It's real disorienting. I also have astigmatism, which means the image is a little bit splayed. So there's a misalignment in my vision. So I need glasses or corrective instruments so that the light rays coming to the retinas of my eyes are actually lined up correctly and I see accurately. That's what God says. You need a vision for this area. You can't just keep making decisions based on what you want in the moment if you're going to win in the long term. You have to have a long-term vision, and then you back your way out of that vision into what I need to do today so that I can actually get to the vision. It may be better for you to brew coffee the old-fashioned way and actually take a cup with you. Hey, but Pastor Dave, that's so uncool. Yeah, but all the cool people are broke. They look good, but they're broke or on the way to broke. So have your old-fashioned glass ceramic cup of coffee. And just know, baby, there's $4 right there. Because Starbucks isn't Starbucks, it's $5. Come on, you know it's true. You gotta have the right vision. And honestly, what we're talking about is what's God's perspective of how he wants you to handle finance? You gotta have a vision out there. The second thing is, I need the right thinking. Everyone say the right thinking. I need the right thinking. The Bible says, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, for as we think in our hearts, so are we. So are we. What's he saying? You know what God's actually saying here? He's saying it this way. You are and you experience how you think. You are and experience how you think. You're like, no, I'm pretty sure that's not true. Well, God's never confused about stuff. He knows how it actually works, and he wants you to know this is actually the way it is. How many of you have ever been depressed because you dropped your phone and the screen cracked? Yeah, that's a pain point right there. That's a pain point. You're really frustrated because you're trying to get checked out real quick, and there's a real long line in the grocery store. Yeah, it's rush hour traffic. You know, as you're driving in your car with an air conditioner and four wheels that actually have tires aired up in it. And these are called first world problems. Most of the world doesn't have those kind of problems. I had the privilege of doing some missions work in different continents, and I've been to Africa, and I've been to India. And you know what I saw in both of those places? And you can actually see that here. It just sometimes it's easier to imagine this when you're thousands of miles away. These pictures seem a little more real, even though they're actually real close to home too. But the first time I was ever in India, I was mesmerized by the abject poverty, the lack of stuff, in contrast with pure joy on the faces of children. It was stunning to me. Well, they didn't know they were poor. They weren't thinking I'm poor. They were having a good time. That makes sense. God isn't confused. You are and experience how you think. God wants you to know you need the right thinking. You need the right thinking. Our attitudes and beliefs about money actually create the experience that we have when it comes to those things. If we believe money is scarce, if we believe money is evil, if we believe that we can never change our situation, then guess what? You're absolutely right. Whatever you think is exactly where you're headed. Which is why God says in Romans 12, verse 2, let me transform you into somebody new by changing the way you think. What's God saying? I want to change the way you think about this. I want to change the way you think about it. Number three, I need to change my attitude about money. I need to change my attitude about money. I need to have a vision. I need to let my thinking be different. But more importantly, I need to change my attitude. Attitude. What does that mean? Think of it this way. Most people think, if I just had more money, then I'd be happy. If I just had more this, then I'd be happy. If I just, you know, if I just weighed 50 pounds less, then I'd be happy. If I was married to her, then I'd be happy. If I was married to him, then I'd be happy. If I'd have two more kids, then I'd be happy. If my kids would ever move out, then I'd be happy. I mean, there's this idea that if this condition happened, then I'd be. And God wants you to know, no, it's not how it works. We set our mind on the way God wants us to think. Then our attitude shifts and the experience we have changes. It actually comes differently. Another thing that we think about, and I'm going to spend a couple minutes on this when it comes to money, and the reason I'm using money again is because money touches every part of our life. We think money in our hands is ours. We need a different attitude about this. Because what you believe is what you experience. What's in your hand, what you possess, is not the same thing as what you own. I'm going to give you a passage of scripture that I think may shift a couple things in your thinking. And I believe if you'll let God do this for you, it will change the trajectory of your life. Listen to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. We're looking at a glimpse of something we see God did in a historical figure called David, who was king over his people. And God did extraordinary things in his life. He walked very closely with God and had an innate understanding of who God is and how he worked because he was so close to God. Listen to how God used that relationship to bring this understanding to who we are. Verse 11 in this chapter says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Then he says this, everything in the heavens and on earth is yours. O Lord, and this is your kingdom. He's saying, listen, you own all of it, and it all belongs to you. Then he says, we adore you as one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Now listen, some of y'all got real quiet on this. It would help me preach faster if you'll all participate here. Even if you're visiting with us, you'll know, you may not know this, but the more you participate, the faster I dismiss. So let's do this together. All right, we adore you as one who is over what? All things. Wealth and honor come from you alone. You rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and give you praise. We praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give you anything or give anything to you? Because everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. What's he saying? Everything in our hands came from you. It actually belongs to you. In short, David realized that everything in his possession actually came from and belonged to God, and he was only managing God's stuff. He's only managing God's stuff. Let me ask you, do you believe that about you? Do you believe your car is actually yours? Or is it something you utilize that God gave you to use and it really belongs to him? Do you believe your body is yours? Or do you just manage it on God's behalf as a tool he gave you to exercise his purpose while you're on this earth? How we think about what's in our hands changes the way we handle what's in our hands. And here's two things I want you to know. Number one, this is really a control issue. It's really just a control issue. It's a control issue. Who controls this? Let me give you the big biblical word for control is actually this. Write this down. It's lordship. Lordship. This is really a lordship issue. And we don't use that term a lot in our contemporary language. We don't have lords and ladies and counts and vassals, and we don't live in those kinds of kingdom structures. We live in a democracy, a republic, and we're used to thinking that really I'm in charge of me and everything I have is mine. And really, it's done us a great disservice because that's really not how God designed it, and it's not how it actually works. God wants us to know it isn't yours. It's mine. But if you don't believe it, you'll live as if it is yours and you'll abuse it to your demise. But if you'll actually let it flow and function in your life as if I've designed it, you'll get the benefit and the blessings and more of it. It's fascinating how it works. Think about this. Jesus came so that he could be our Lord and Savior. How many of you know God wants to be your Lord and Savior? All right, think about it this way. Savior deals with eternal salvation. Lord actually means something different. Lord deals with control. And God wants to do both of them for you. You know why? Because he knows how both of them work best. He's the only one that can save us, and he's the only one that can actually direct us. How many of you know that everything sin touches dies? Everything sin touches dies. When we yield to sin or the patterns of sin, whatever we let sin touch in our life through our choices begins to die. We see that all through Scripture. However, everything we submit or put under the lordship of Christ, we put that under his direction. In other words, I say, God, this is kind of what I'm feeling like I want to do, but I realize you say this is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to make this choice because I live this part of my life under your lordship or your direction. As I live under you, then God says, then I'm going to bless that. That makes sense? So whatever we make under the influence of the deception of darkness begins to die and decay. Whatever we make under the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that begins to experience the bountiful blessings that come from God. It's true. What am I saying? Write this down. The key to financial peace is to surrender the idea of control of my finances to Jesus. I need to surrender the idea of control of my finances to Jesus. Why? Or let me give you three ways real quick, and then I'll talk about something I think is going to make a real difference for you. Number one, the first way I do this is I acknowledge God's ownership over everything in my life. I acknowledge God's ownership over everything in my life. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. We just read this a moment ago. This is your kingdom. We adore you. We worship you. We praise you. We're under you as the one who is over all things. Let me give you two words and definitions that I think will help bring this into focus for you. Ownership, write this down, means it's mine to do what I want to with it. It's mine to do what I want to with it. Possession means this, write this down. It's in my hands to manage what the owner wants done with it. And whichever word you use when it comes to your finance, that's you're deciding which flow you're going to live under. If you own it, you'll do with what you want to do with it. If you simply possess it, that means it's in your hands, but it really is controlled by somebody else. Oh, I've got 13 messages I want to preach right here, but I just can't do it. So first thing I got to do is I surrender the control of this to God. The next thing I have to do is recognize that everything I have is actually a temporary loan from God. It's a temporary loan from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." Our job is to be faithful to what God put in our hands because we don't actually own it. Can I ask you a question? Think about it this way. What can you take with you when you die? That's the easiest way to figure out how much you own. That makes sense? So since you can't take it with you, you don't own it. Everything about your life actually comes from God. So why ever would we treat it as if we own it? Why wouldn't we submit it to the direction of God and say, God, how do you want us to handle this? Selah. If you've ever read an old King James Bible, you'll see that word in there. It just means pause and reflect on this if you're not sure what that means. I love that. Finally, the third thing we have to do if we're actually going to acknowledge God's ownership, surrender this to God. So we have to acknowledge his ownership, realize it's all a temporary loan. And then number three, I've got to get and apply, which means obey God's wisdom in my finances for what's in my possession. Which is why we see Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything else will be added to you. What's God saying? Listen, if you'll actually seek me out in every area of your life. Today we're talking about finances. If you'll seek me out and how I said I want you to do this, you're going to actually get everything you thought you wanted and more as you go my way. Why? Because you're in relationship with me and I bring everything with me to the table. You get everything. You get everything. So four things that need to change about my financial picture in order for them to look different. I need the right vision. Everyone say vision. I need the right thinking. Say thinking. I need to change my attitude, say attitude. And number four, I need to change my actions. I need to change my actions. I love this. I put that last because my attitude actually drives my actions. So if we change our attitude, our actions begin to change as well. You may be asking, well, Pastor Dave, how do I change my actions? And this is where I really kind of want to turn the corner on this and bring it back to what we're truly talking about. This isn't financial management or financial management from the position of trying to make more money. This really is an issue of relationship with God. How do I actually change my actions? The first thing I have to do, honestly, is trust God. If I'm going to change my actions, then I've got to change my attitude. And if I'll learn to trust God, ultimately my attitude changes. You know why I think most people honestly struggle with money? Is because their relationship with God is not very close. For most people, God is a religion. God is an abstract idea. God is a cultural structure. God is something other than a God that I know. See, the more we know him, the more we'll trust him. So I want to say when it comes to the decisions we make, to be honest with you, if we're struggling with obedience, it's usually tied to a trust issue, and trust is tied to a relationship with God, a relationship issue. which is why this indicator, this attitude indicator, is so big for all of us. God may be using the tension of our finances to say, hey, there's areas of your life I need to get in a little bit more. The next thing we need to do if we're going to actually do this is something called self-denial. Everyone say self-denial. Self-denial. That's a biblical way of just telling yourself no. Telling yourself no. Telling yourself no. Why would I ever tell myself no? I want to tell myself yes. This is an issue of, is your wanter driving your life? If wanter is driving your life, then there's a reason why you are where you are. So are you going to trust God or are you going to trust the wanter? I'm going to say the payoff is trusting God. So you can say no to the wanter. Self-denial means that. And then the last one is self-discipline. Self-discipline. Once we trust God and learn how to say no to ourselves, then disciplines means the actions that go with it become oriented towards submission to God and obeying His way of us living. Dave Ramsey is an inspiration to a lot of us, and he has this phrase that if we live like no one else now, then we can live like no one else later. See, everybody in our culture right now is spending everything now for the moment, which is why debt's so high. But it's because there isn't trust in this long-term vision God has for just walking His way and living the way He wants us to live. And by the way, that doesn't mean broke. You're going to be shocked when you realize that once we settle the lordship issue, finance isn't a problem. Finance is usually just a problem as long as it's tied up with the lordship issue. Once we get the lordship stuff straightened out, it's interesting how God says, listen, seek me first, my kingdom, everything is added. I love this. I love this. So I know this is a financial freedom series, and I believe if we allow God to show us truth and we obey the truth God shows us about our finances, then we get the benefit and the blessings of everything that comes with that. But the payoff for God and the payoff for us even is not money. The payoff is relationship. So what I want to do today is close on the last point we talked about, which is, where is your trust? Where is your trust? Your trust is in what you're most familiar with. You trust what you're most familiar with. It doesn't matter what that is. It could be a dysfunctional relationship. You know exactly how to operate in that dysfunctional relationship because you're most familiar with it. You trust that if this person does or says that, then you need to do this in order to make peace in the home. What are you most familiar with? That's what you trust. Why not get more familiar with God? Why not develop that relationship with God? Why not let the power of what we're talking about today with your relationship with God make the difference for you? Because the more you know Him, the more you trust Him. The more you trust Him, the more you receive what He says. You know what Jesus said about this? He said it this way. It's the last scripture in your outline. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. What's He saying? If you actually get to the place where you'll start loving me, you'll be shocked how easy it is to align with what I'm saying. Why? Because you love me and you trust me. Then you'll do. So if you're struggling with the actions part of this, the key isn't just being harder on yourself. The key is, I need to get closer to God. I need to get to know Him better. I need to let His relationship inside me get stronger and stronger. Why? Because the more I know Him, the more I trust Him. The more I trust Him and know Him, the more I love Him. The more I love Him, the easier it is to do what He says. Do y'all see the cycle of that? And that's what I want to end with today. Let me ask you to just bow your heads. I want to pray for you this morning. So Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your faithfulness. You are a good God. For those in this auditorium and those that are streaming the service right now, I'm asking that You would cause the work of Your Holy Spirit to show us in our lives that we need to know You better. We need to know You more. We need a stronger relationship, a deeper relationship. God, for those in this room this morning and those listening online, just moments ago, You turned the light on of a decision they need to make. because they realize they're not trusting you. They're trusting something else. And they can tell because their actions are pointing it out. So today, God, I'm asking you to give people courage to make a decision, to start the process of the decision to follow you. No turning back in Jesus' name. They'll put their faith in you, put their trust in you, and live the rest of their life in a relationship with you that defines the blessings of their life. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I would like to talk to those of you that know you need to make a decision to follow Jesus today. A moment ago when I was using those examples, it occurred to you, that's not the way I live. I don't live trusting Jesus. I live trusting my opinion. I live trusting my own impressions. I live trusting my own desires, but I don't live trusting Jesus. How do I know? I don't do what he says. I don't even think about it. But in that moment, God gave you a grace to acknowledge it. And honestly, there was a desire in you for a moment that says, I actually want that because I see the benefit of it. That's what God wants to do for you today. So if you're in here with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you in just a moment if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, to follow him with obedience for the rest of your life, giving him access to your heart to be your Savior and your Lord. I'm going to count to three in just about 30 seconds. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up and say, that's me today. Pastor Dave, I'm going to pray this life change prayer with you, and I'm going to start a brand new relationship with Jesus. I want him to be who leads my life from this day forward. One, this isn't complicated. You're either in an active relationship with Jesus where he leads you step by step each day, or you're not. It's not confusing, and you know it already in your heart. In fact, you know today is your day to make this decision too. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I won't ask you to stand and move to the front. All I'm going to do is ask that you would simply slip your hand up saying, hey, Pastor Dave, I'm deciding to follow Jesus today in this area of my life and every area of my life. You ready? If that's you today, you're ready to decide to follow Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time. Three, slip your hand up right now. Just leave it up just for a moment. Just for a moment. One, two, who else? Three, who else? Anybody else? Four, just waiting just for a moment. I feel some people making big decisions here. Anybody else? And make you put your hands down. We're going to pray this prayer together. I'd like every one of you who had your hand up just moments ago to say out loud with me the words that I say. I'm just giving your heart words, giving your mouth words to say your heart's already saying. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for loving me enough to give me the truth. Jesus, thank you for paying the price with your own life to take care of my sin and bring me back into relationship with you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior, I pray. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, make me brand new. Lead me forward into your path and plan for my life as my Lord and Savior, because today I've decided to follow you. No turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, guys, can we just put our hands together? Let's celebrate today. I love it, love it, love it.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.